folks, to this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, 7 to 10 p.m. every weeknight, right here on the Global Star Radio Network, also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, that's BTR, as well as YouTube Live, where you can watch us live. We've got a great hour lined up for you. We're going to be talking about a number of things, including but not limited to the debt ceiling. How much more debt can we take on? How about social media? What's that doing to things? And how is that influencing the news? How about the undeclared wars in relationship to the debt ceiling and our debt and such? There's a lot of things that we're going to get into that's relevant to your plans. What plans have you made? Also, what do you have? Have you gamed out, for example, what you're going to do or what you might be, you know, what you could do should A, B, or C happen? And that's very difficult. It's kind of ethereal to talk about in a sense. It's just, you know, there are a lot of variables there. But nonetheless, we have to prepare ourselves. We can identify, and we do identify the problems all day long through our broadcasts. And the problems are formidable. They've festered for so many years, decades, centuries. So we do have to identify the problems and each of the components of the problems. But we also have to understand, and especially if you're the leader of your family, if you're the person that makes the decisions in your family, or as a family unit, how to decide how to respond, not react, but respond to potential problems should they erupt. What would happen if tomorrow you could not, and we talk about this all the time, if for example, if the Federal Reserve, you know, just, or if your dollar doesn't buy anything tomorrow, what would happen if your notes become worthless? Well, again, we talk about the problem, but we also have to identify potential solutions. And we have to work that in a very measured way and responsible way. And we're going to be doing that the next hour with Alex Wilson. Before we get to our guest, folks, proflowers.com. You know, my wife was recently hospitalized, and she got a tremendous several bouquets of flowers at the hospital when she was there. Brought them home, and she was in a family room setting, and of course the flowers had subsequently wilted, and I surprised her one day. I surprised her with Pro Flowers, their new Farm Stand Flowers bouquet. Farm Stand Flowers bouquet. I surprised her with this. This is incredible. In fact. The Farm Stand Flowers bouquet, this is a very special, timely, it's a special collection, but it reflects the time of year. You know, predictability is boring. Surprises are exciting. Pro Flowers, they make it easy for you to surprise someone right now. And they're making it even easier with a special offer for you, our listeners. You can send Pro Flowers Farm Stand Flowers and get 20% off this collection or any other of their unique exclusive bouquets of $29 or more. But the Farm Stand Flowers collection, my wife was so happy to get them. And I asked her before the program tonight, before I left for the studio, I said, you know, I'm going to be talking about Pro Flowers, and the last bouquet that you got was the Farm Stand collection. You remember those? Oh, I love those. In fact, I just took them off the table yesterday. It was Sunday. Yeah, that was yesterday. And I said, well, what'd you think? And she said the flowers were really, really fresh, and they were very different. She said, you know, the one thing that I thought when I saw them, I've never seen anything available like that in the grocery store or any of the flower shops around here. They were just different. It was just a beautiful assortment of colors and unique flower combinations. She said, boy, do you mind? Can you do that again? And she said the aroma too was fabulous. And I'll attest to that. You could smell them just from the other room. So, folks, Pro Flowers, it makes choosing the perfect surprise bouquet simple and quick. Flowers are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days or your money back. And I'll tell you right now, 7 days is... 2 weeks is my experience. You get to pick the exact date of your unexpected surprise will arrive. Pro Flowers gives you more bloom for your buck. Big, beautiful flowers with more stems for your money. Here's what you need to do, folks, to get 20% off of your farm stand flowers or any other bouquet of $29 or more. Simply go to proflowers.com. Use our code Hagmann. That's H-A-G-M-A-N-N at checkout. That's proflowers.com. And this is important now to get this deal. Use our code Hagmann at checkout. Folks, don't wait to make someone's day. Go ahead. Be unpredictable. Do it today. Proflowers.com and our code word Hagmann.
All right. Joining us this hour is the founder and owner of Precious Timber, Mr. Alex Wilson. Alex is an incredible asset to all of us here at the Hagmann family, and he left the United Kingdom in the early 1980s. In part because of the failed socialist policies that we have seen spreading across the Western world even through today. And Alex, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back, guys. How are you this evening?
Well, we're doing fantastic. How about you?
Good. Always good. Stay positive. Be thankful for what we have every day.
Indeed. You know, Mr. Wilson, as you look over the landscape of the United States, we're beset with a number of issues, whether it be financial, you know, the economic situation, whether it be the potential for war, the undeclared wars in which we are engaged, the politics of destruction that we've seen for the last eight years and now we're seeing play out against the Donald Trump administration. Where do we even start in a triage setting? What concerns you right now? Maybe that's the way to go.
Yeah, there's so many things, isn't there?
There is.
That's the conundrum we have. Obviously, when nations and countries have the prosperity, they get, they get more civilized, if you will, in their approach to sort of global sort of affairs. Greed is one of those disgusting but really relevant things that's inherent in we more, you know, we're just human, for goodness sakes. And so it's difficult to pinpoint any one thing, especially when there's so many. I mean, we could go down the list and talk for an hour on each one of the things, but I think the biggest thing that kind of concerns me is the moral separation. And this is, I don't know whether this is even by design or just as a consequence, but I felt it a lot because I travel a lot, and when I do come back to the U.S., it starts with a ugly entry back into the country on how police forceful the border control are. And listen, we understand that we have to have borders, absolutely, but when you're coming back in as, you know, a citizen of the country, a green card holder, or even as, you know, a tourist and traveler, you can still perform the necessary requirements to keep your borders safe and controlled with humility. And so I am mostly concerned with the polarity separation of how politics, especially the last couple of terms, has kind of eroded, if you will, just the ability for us to be closer as humans. Now, listen, we always support one another. in times of trouble and times of strife and disasters and those kinds of things. That's just natural. We're just going to do that. But I'm genuinely concerned at the other times, the other 95% of the time that we're here. And I do believe it's politically driven, to sort of put people into boxes and categories and sort of point fingers. And so when that starts to fade away like it has done, and like it certainly has done in Europe, then where do you go from there? Of course, you've got the financial debacle. You've got like all of the, you know, things that you've mentioned, safety issues. The list is endless. There's some very, very real structural, critical, you know, things that are not easy to fix. Some of them cannot be fixed. Some of them have to break before they can even be recognized properly because, you know, it's easy to look the other way. But we've got some serious things that, as you mentioned in your open monologue, we need to stay alert to. We've got to stay alert. So you have to have these other media outlets such as the podcast and shows like yours so that you can gain as much information so that you can sieve it. You know, you have to get it all. You have to then categorize it all and you have to lay it all down. And then start looking at some solutions and some possible solutions and some possible, you know, ways around to deflect or even more so, I think, protect. So it's crazy times, this for sure, but putting it all into, you know, the pot, I think people, if we ever allow those evil forces to pull us apart as from who we truly are. You see that, we see all over the world where people do despicable things, even to their own countrymen and women. So, listen, thankfully we have the power of the Second Amendment, and I'm just more and more concerned for not just our generation, but I'm concerned for those that are coming up and what these next 25 years might look like, Doug.
And folks, we're talking with Alex Wilson, the founder and owner of Precious Timber. And Mr. Wilson, you said a lot there about the moral decline that we see all across the world, whether if it was, by design or if it was a consequence of what they have done. And I do believe it's by design. And it does point to a large degree back to politics, but I would venture to say that all of it is points back to what you said, and that it is evil. It is spiritual darkness that is driving many of these reasons why we're heading in these wrong directions, such as greed and you know, the lust for power. And it's where does that leave our country? And if it is the spiritual evil that is dominating and taking over. Not only in our country, in our world, as you just said, not only for this generation, but for the future generations to come, what kind of landscape is that going to look like? And that doesn't leave much hope. But thankfully, as you said, there are alternative media outlets and there are alternatives to what propaganda is being fed to us by the mainstream media, by the politicians and these controllers of society. And I think that one place to start is that fellowship with each other in the Christian community. And it seems that we don't have enough of that in this country, and that the churches are not providing the right kind of fellowship. And the churches have become more of a political tool, and they have conformed to the world rather than sticking to the foundations in Scripture. And I think that's where we have lost a lot of our spiritual power. But I believe that is the root cause of what we are seeing today. And I believe the only way to really get back on track is to have that strong remnant of believers who listen to the Holy Spirit and will follow where the Holy Spirit guides them.
Well, if we don't, there's nowhere else to go, and that's the issue. America still has a pretty strong Christian sort of focus, and we must never let that falter. I'm from, Europe, and there are still some places that are very committed and still follow the word. But the UK isn't one of them. There's fractions and factions of people still, but very, very small. In fact, when I was growing up as a kid, if you ever spoke to any friend at school about believing in God, you got ridiculed. And, churches across the country, unless they have been able to remain open by way of some quasi-business, in other words, the very special places that allow you to come in and take a look around for a fee, for example, the rest of them, the little village churches, especially in the little village that I was raised, they long ago got turned into supermarkets or even, goodness gracious, nightclubs. And so that degradation and that separation from our Creator, that moral degradation of society where people have no regard. I mean, I don't want to get too dark on us tonight, but I've seen it, I've experienced it, and even I'll tell you a story which was really sort of sad. I was in the UK a few years ago after my mother and father's passing, and I'm walking down this little suburban street, terraced houses both sides, and I saw about maybe 100 meters in front of me two young girls, maybe no older than 3 or 4, playing in the yards with their little dolls. And on the other side of the street, there was another little girl that you could tell she was peering over the fence trying to see what the other girls were doing. And as I got closer and closer, it was a sunny day, it was a beautiful day, and I'm just, loving the idyllic sort of conditions. And as they got closer, I heard the sound from the window of the young, two little young ones, and it was the mother with such profanity reprimanding them. And the little girl across the street said, "You can come over here and play." And because she wasn't the same color as the other girls, right out of the mouths of babies was the same profanity that the mother was using. And it kind of just made the whole particular instant dark. And you think about that, and that's, it's happening here more than I'd like it to see, but it's really rampant throughout the UK, and morality is probably on a par with honesty, which is kind of sad. So yeah, we have to be very careful. And so what do we do about it? A lot of people are saying, "Hey, I want to up and leave, and I want to go to places." And all across the world now, in greater numbers than ever before, individuals are picking themselves up and moving to different countries, different sort of seasons, searching for friendship and searching for, just camaraderie. I mean, get back to, how we've created, why we're created. And so we're seeing that leaps and bounds and droves, people expatriating, people creating new communities, building new, safe zones, if you will. So it's growing. The planes are full. The freeways are full. And people are moving around the world.
Alex Wilson is our guest, PreciousTimber.com. What would, and as you mentioned, by the way, I've been hearing more and more people saying, well, maybe we as a family should explore other options as we see things decline, become exacerbated here in the United States or wherever they might be in their various Western enclaves. But where do you start if you've really never thought about this before? Do you have like a checklist? Obviously, I'll just, you know, for example, well, you need a passport. You should have a passport. What else should we have? And maybe that's just too simplistic of a question, but I think sometimes people forget the basics.
Well, you started with the right one, and that's the passport. I don't know the exact number, but not too long ago, maybe a 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, I was reading about that, and it's a very low number of Americans that actually hold a passport, less than 20%. And actually, of that 20%, the ones that do hold a passport are generally, you know, people that came here, and they want to go back home to visit their family. So they may be European, they may be Asian, they may be Latin American, and so they have their U.S. passport now, but they also use it primarily to go see their you know, their native family. I'm talking about the majority of the U.S. Majority of the U.S., because it's a big, vast, great country still, with a lot of fiscal problems that could really upset the apple cart at any given moment, whatever that trigger may be. Few Americans travel internationally. There's a lot of places to see. They get their RVs, and they go across the border, the state border, and they vacate that way. There's a really big world out there. And one of the things that's interesting about traveling, and I'm talking international travel, is you meet the most amazing people, curious people, eager to learn and become friends, build, you know, solid sort of companionships, most interesting stories. And so where do you start? Well, you start with a passport. Pretty simple to get one. But then what is the list after that? Well, obviously, you know, the hardest thing to do is leave your family. The hardest thing to do is also leave your, you know, your country of birth. It was tough for me to do it. Because all of the things that we grow up with, and they become partial of our every fiber. But, you know, if you're, there's millions of North Americans, just like there's millions of Europeans looking. Where do you go? Well, thankfully we have the internet, so you could just type in anything, you know, live abroad, expatriation, you know, looking for second home, plan B, bug out, all of these different phrases. But I think after your passport, you need a plan. You need a plan. You always need a plan, whether it's a plan because there's a hurricane, or on the West Coast, there's an earthquake. So those are the things that you have to have. And some of the things on that plan should be, who do you want to spend time with? What kind of people do you want to be, you know, what kind of climate do you like? Do you like the cooler climates? Do you like the hotter climates? Do you like to live with nature, or do you like to live in the city? Do you enjoy, you know, fellowship, or do you enjoy being a loner? I mean, do you love animals? So all of those things come into play, and then once you've got that list, then I think it's a matter of visiting some places, and that's why I think you need the passport first, because once you've got your passport, you know, you can go visit places. It's not that expensive to travel around the world today. Obviously, it's not as cheap as getting on the bus, but you can go and start testing places and seeing whether or not you fit and they accept you, because there's parts of the world, especially the Latin American countries, you know, there's a lot of Latin Americans coming this way, but there's an enormous amount of Americans and Canadians going that way. They've started communities. They like I'll tell you what people like most. They like most that it's not so affluent and not so uppity, as we might say in an English term. It's more down-to-earth, more friendly, more, you know, let's get together after work. Let's sit on the porch, on the rocking chair. So it's very, very person-to-person. And that you usually find that in countries that don't have the affluence. Sometimes money never mind sometimes, most times money gets in the way. And so I can tell you from all of the people that I meet that are heading south, for example, they're still collecting their Social Security checks in a different part of the world, but they have a, maybe not quite a higher standard of living, but a better quality of life.
Okay. Folks, we're talking with the founder and owner of Precious Timber, Mr. Alex Wilson, and we have about a minute until we're coming up against the break. And that's one of the things, and you just laid out there, Mr. Wilson, about traveling, is some people have economic restrictions, which don't allow them to travel as freely as they'd like. And when we come back on the other side, if we can, I'd like to cover a little bit about, I know you wanted to talk about the economic conditions and the debt ceiling, but how much of the how much of a political divide comes with the economic divide? I mean, how much how closely related are the two? When we come back on the other side, folks, you're listening to Alex Wilson. He is the founder and owner of Precious Timber. You can find Precious Timber by going to PreciousTimber.com or going on our website and clicking the banner there. We'll be back with Alex Wilson on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is... It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Trained Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.trainedpersonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Thank you.
edition of the Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com. We're talking to Alex Wilson, our guest. Very interesting, very knowledgeable man. The varying things that are taking place all across the United States, really all across the world, how this will impact or could impact your lives. And the question at hand is, we are obviously seeing the problems. What about the solutions? And we're going to be talking more about both here momentarily. A couple of things. We're seeing wildfires spread across 14 states. We have to, in portions of Canada, we have to really pay attention to what's going on there and pray for those in the paths of these fires. Long time great listeners, Bob and Maggie, Bob's cousin, is in the path of one of the fires. We need to pray for him and for everyone in the paths of these devastating fires. You're seeing temperatures across the United States, or in some places in the United States, soar. It's incredible. We're also, some of the other things that we're watching very quickly and very briefly, we're watching the federal probe in part of the land deal that was pushed by Bernie Sanders' wife. We're looking at the multitude of potential criminal indictments, yeah, that could come down, from Lynch to Comey to my goodness.
Well, what's interesting, and not to just interrupt you,
no, go ahead.
What's interesting about this particular investigation into Jane Sanders,
yes,
and her dealings making fraudulent claims about donations to the college that she was the head of, and procuring land and whatnot. She fudged a lot of numbers to get a bunch of money, and they even said that Bernie stepped in and applied pressure to banks, and he has since come out and said it's basically a political witch hunt. But one thing that's really interesting is to see the amount of coverage the Sanders probe is getting versus the other more important, I would say, political probes into Lynch, into Comey.
Very good point.
And
extremely, thank you for that.
Well, I mean, because I see it every day and, you know, looking for news to put on the website, and very rarely do you see the article pointing out, you know, all of Loretta Lynch's, you know, attempted injustices, or Hillary Clinton, or James Comey. Comey, more recently, we've seen on the alternative news, but there was even a piece today on Newsbusters that said, you know, the three major news media have done everything in to avoid covering the latest revelation about Comey leaking classified information. And instead we see all this information on the Jane and Bernie Sanders probe, which I don't find coincidental, because I think they're, you know, trying to leave someone out to hang, and it doesn't want to be one of them. So they're going to, you know, give it to Bernie and Jane there. And I do think there was some wrongdoing, at least with the dealings in the primary between Bernie and Hillary.
Yes.
That's not even being talked about. It's more focused on this one.
Yeah.
Banking probe.
And you make some absolutely excellent points. And thank you for that, because what's taking place behind the scenes, I don't want to keep our guests waiting, but what's taking place behind the scenes with respect to potential indictments, the criminal activity that President Donald Trump, by virtue of his position and appointments to the Department of Justice, what we're seeing take place is this unveiling of this 8 years of lawlessness and criminality. And I really believe that we will see indictments. I believe that we'll see criminal indictments that will make our jaws drop if permitted to continue. But you're right when the Joe, you're absolutely 100% correct, as the news, the mainstream media directs one's attention where you know, redirects one's attention to stories that, okay, yeah, there's meat there, but away from the real criminality that has gone unchecked for 8 years. Also, lastly, before we bump it back to our guest, just want to remind everyone, it was a year ago today that a man by the name of Seth Rich was gunned down in Washington, D.C. This is an unsolved homicide. We have seen so much about this case. We have seen so little about this case, perhaps might be a more accurate statement. As a family member of someone who was murdered, and a murder that went unsolved for 5 long years, you've got to, if you want justice for Seth Rich, you will pursue the leads, no matter where pursue the clues, conduct the investigation, regardless of where it leads. And this is what we must do. We must keep the pressure on. We must expose the corruption that we see taking place. We must band together and demand answers. Seth Rich, I truly believe this is a part of a larger issue. This is not conspiracy talk. This is, by its very definition, a conspiracy of silence by the people at the highest levels of power. So pray for the soul of Seth Rich, but also let's work together and let's keep the pressure on and let's find answers for Seth Rich and for those people who loved that man. Remember, Seth Rich, regardless of what you think of him, he was somebody's son, somebody's brother, somebody's friend. Go ahead, Joe.
And as we continue to talk about a number of injustices in this country and things that are not getting enough attention, let's talk a little bit about the economy, Alex Wilson, and the debt ceiling. You know, we are seeing a lot of news since Donald Trump has been elected and inaugurated that jobs are being brought back to America, that there is more confidence in businesses. We see the stock market is increasing in value to new record highs. And one thing that's not really addressed when we seem to see a lot of this good news is the increasing debt ceiling and how much that has increased over the last, you know, just few decades. How far do you think that this debt ceiling can go before it all comes crashing down?
Well, here's what I see. And I don't know how many people are talking about this, but I see two things happening at the same time. I see the economy getting stronger. I see jobs being created. I see positive sort of forward motion with the entrepreneurs of the country. And I see growth, and I see an increase in the stock market. I see an increase in most assets. To the point in which euphoria will take over again, like it always does. And we might be reminded that this is not the first time that this has taken place so soon after a new president got in, after one that, quite frankly, had no clue how to generate these things. And so what concerns me the most is the debt level continues to blossom, and when you have that happening at the same time with the growth side of things, you don't have to go back centuries. You only have to go back, you know, less than one. And you might remember the 1929. We all know it, because we all were taught it at school. But no one talks about 1926, 1927, and 1928, the 3 years prior to the 1929 crash. And those three years were insane. Growth was 200% and 300% over those 2-3 years. Think about that. Think about the stock market doubling in a year or tripling in 3 years. And so I see some crazy things ahead. I see the manipulators, the central planners, you know, making sure that things don't topple and continue this growth pattern to the point where we may see a 50,000 stock market or even a 60,000 stock market. We may see real estate prices increase even greater than they are today, which they're at you know, record bubble values right now. And then after that euphoric sort of movement up, which is where most people get caught, because as things go up, you don't want to be left behind. And so more and more pile on. And then the devastation hits. And that's when the pain really sets in. So what do you do about that? Well, try not to get caught up in it, because you're talking about all of this media push and all of these sort of slanted stories. Remember, that's what they want you to follow.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they want your minds to go. And while you have to stay connected and in tune, you can't be allowed to be pigeonholed. You gotta stay sharp. And so this debt problem is real. It's gonna burst. They'll prop it up. They'll give you the feeling that it's kind of gone away and it won't happen again. But when it does, 2008 is going to look like a joyride, a trip to Disneyland.
And Alex, yeah. One of the huge indicators for me that you just alluded to is the headlines we see every month that the IRS and federal government collect record amount of taxes month after month after month, yet they still run billions to even trillion-dollar deficits with those record taxes.
Of course, of course. And
that's unsustainable.
Well, how'd you like to run your own family budget like that, or your own checkbook? So it is unsustainable, and so we get back to why people are moving and why people are preparing. Written preparation is just a plan, and we prep for all kinds of things, as we mentioned earlier, and we need to prep, and we need to protect our family, our loved ones, our friends, our comrades, our brothers in Christ, and, you know, make sure that we have plans together. Doesn't mean that you have to get up and go to a different part of the world. I mean, America's not going to go away. I mean, it's still going to be here, but it'll be radically different than what we know it right now. It'll be a long time before the big sort of heavy hurt starts to heal. And so, you know, it's all in the planning stage. You operate your day, you operate your week, you get up and you do your things. I have a little sort of focus, and that's my chin is set like a flint, and whether the wind comes politically off the right or off the left, my rudder is in the water. I know where I'm going because I have a destination, I have a plan, and part of that plan has to be, you know, positive. Get up in the morning and think positive. You don't want to think negative. You don't want to be depressed all the time. It's very hard to think positive and stay positive. Put a smile on your face. That happens to help a lot, strangely enough. But have a plan. And these Central American and South American countries, I was in Ecuador a few weeks ago. I mean, tens of thousands of Americans and Canadians have moved to southern Ecuador. In fact, some of the things that they were telling me were quite surprising, where, you know, they're going into hospitals and saying, hey, you know, we need you to speak English down here. There's so many of us down there. And so just funny little things, because you think about here, people want those that are coming to our country to speak their language. So we're all very much alike around the world. But definitely have a plan. And then your finances, that's something that we probably should touch on. What are you going to do with your finances? How are you going to protect your finances? Whether you have a lot of money, whether you have a little bit of money, it matters the same. Listen, sometimes in life, having no money is the biggest problem. But let me tell you, when you have money too, it's a problem. It's not the same problem. It's a different problem, but you have a problem. So where do you place the money? How do you protect it? How do you make sure that it's not in those asset spaces that are going to get devastated? They're going to get rocked to their core. And of course, the financial establishment wants you to follow what they quote unquote say are the safest ways to protect it. Put it in the bank, put it in the stock market, all those that kinds of things. I don't know about that. I'm not here to judge on what's right and what's wrong, but definitely look at options, and especially ones that are not familiar too much, because if you can do some of the unfamiliar things, they're sometimes some of the safest things.
Well, when we're talking about things like a home, owning a home, and owning stock in the stock market, and are these considered assets? Would you consider them assets?
Well, stocks, you know, anything that you've been able to pay for is an asset. Anything that you still owe money on is not. So a lot of people Listen, it's good to buy a home. It's a great, you know, it's a great feeling. But it doesn't become an investment or an asset until you've fully paid for it. And even then, once you fully pay for it, it's still on the balance sheet. There's a lot of costs to maintenance and repair. Now, an asset, you know, a rental home that's being paid for by someone else that is paying off the mortgage because of the rent, that's an asset. And so the stocks that you own, the mutual funds that you own, the CDs that you own, as long as that's cash in your pocket and you're not having to pay debt. Interest is a funny thing. Interest is something that you should never pay. You should just earn it. So how do you go about that? It's just a philosophy. It's just a frame of thought. And unless you're in a, you know, band of people, a group of people, whether it came from your family or someone that you look up to, you know, we look at things very differently. And so the messages that we receive kind of lead us to repeat those either good things or mistakes. And so when it comes to finances, one of the simplest things that I should probably share, which really impacted my life, was just a very rudimentary savings system. And I, at the time when I learned it, I was 17, 18. I wasn't making very much at that time. But I've kept the principle, and the principle is very simple. Three jars, or three boxes. One jar with the letter C on it, one with the letter P on it, and one with the letter T on it. The C stands for charity, and every time you make a buck, whether it's a dollar bill, $10, $100, or $1,000, put 10% in the C jar for charity. Start there. Start by doing good, because that, you know, when you do good, you feel good. And so then the next jar is P, the permanent money. What are you going to do? What are you going to save permanently and never ever spend it until a bad day comes or later on in life? So put 10 or 15% in the P too, which means now you only have 75% left. You know, if you force yourself to do that and make it a habit, you force yourself to live on 75% of what you earn. Now, whether you earn $1 million or you earn $25,000, if you live that way, you'll always have cash. You'll always be able to support and donate to good causes. But here's the other thing it teaches you. It teaches you not to go into the debt either. And so debt is, to me, I mean, I know it's a four-letter word, but it's way worse than that. So we dream a lot. We have these, you know, Madison Avenue images in front of us that tell us we should have this and we should get that and we should, you know, be driving, you know, the biggest truck or whatever it is. But they want to earn that interest. They want you to pay that interest. And you got to flip it on its head a little bit.
And those are great points. And I imagine that something, as you said, the system of the three boxes or three jars, that's a discipline that had to be learned. Because for many people in America, and this is part of the problem, many people live above their pay grade because of things like credit cards and debts and paying interest and whatnot. And, you know, they're in a situation now where, you know, they're living so far above their means they can't afford to save anything. And that's a terrible, terrible place to be in. What would your advice to some of those people in that position be? How to turn that situation around?
Shake yourself and make a decision and make a promise to yourself that you're not going to be, you know, a puppet that they can, you know, just by a whim. I mean, listen, everything that you see advertised around you, whether it's in a magazine or on the TV, it's all, you know, to make you sort of conform. And so you got to be a nonconformist. No, I'm not talking about breaking the law. I'm saying absolutely, you know, live within the bounds of the law. But you have to think for yourself and you have to be independent and you have to really, you know, say I'm gonna be different than the average person. I'm gonna do things a little differently. If you don't know how to do it, you know, there's that great World Wide Web in front of us that we can all access on our telephones today. There's lots and lots of free information out there. I like free information, but definitely, you know, one of the things that strikes me the most is, as I keep talking about the affluent society and the not-so-affluent society, and the most affluent societies are not really the happiest societies on Earth, and the ones that are less affluent, I'm not talking poverty, I'm talking less affluent, they seem to have a higher sort of grade on the happy scale. And that's why people are moving to those kinds of places across the world. places that once maybe were affluent. I mean, you take a look at Greece, and you take a look at, you know, countries like that. I mean, even where I'm focusing on right now, Nicaragua. Nicaragua, many, many hundreds of years ago, was shackled by sort of dictators that came. And then in the 1990s, it kind of cleaned its act up and then was able to free itself from the shackles of dictatorship. And so all around the world, there's countries that are moving in the wrong direction, down, debt and stress and turmoil, but then there's countries that are moving up the scale. And maybe 200 years ago, it was a great thing to dream about coming to Americans. All of those Irish and all of those Italians, they dreamt about coming to America. Well, now, hey, there's a lot of places on the world, and Nicaragua is one of them, and Ecuador and other countries like that are some places that people are dreaming about starting a new life. Because of the opportunities, because of the way the countries are run, they're safe there. I mean, very safe. Listen, some of the most safest countries in all the world today, you would never have thought would have been Latin American countries, but the safety index from the World Bank proves it. Nicaragua being one of them. I think Nicaragua and Costa Rica now go between one and two. One year that Nicaragua is safest in Latin American country, the next year Costa Rica is. Hey, warm climates, fresh food, organic, happy people. So it's not out of the ordinary. And if I one of my biggest things is test it first. Take a little vacation. Spend two or 3 weeks. Spend $1,500. I mean, I was talking to someone today in Miami. It's $200 to get on the plane to go down into Central America. It's not that much money. But do it, test it, like it, then maybe you want to go, stay there, find a job. There's lots and lots of work. Listen, a country that's growing at 5% GDP growth per annum for the last 10 years, America would like those numbers.
Yeah.
So there is opportunity. Don't feel like you're stuck. Because you may be stuck where you're at, but if you get out from where you're at, you'll become unstuck and the doors will open.
Great points, Mr. Wilson. We got about 2.5 minutes left before the end of
this
segment. Any other solutions that you want to talk about? I know I see here on our show write-up, solution 1, 2, and 3 are pray. And then you ask... has anybody changed their habits in the 6 years that they've listened to this show from storing food and water? What are some other solutions that you have that either minor or major that will help people live better, more fulfilling lives?
Well, I always ask myself, and I do it often because that's another habit, but I often ask myself, where would I want to go next? Because I just like to move around. And so whether it's internationally or whether it's across state borders, that's the geographical side of what I'm saying. But then there's the other thing. Where do I want to put my mind next? Where do I want to put myself next? I like to take myself and give myself challenges. And it wasn't always the way. I was, as a kid, very, very shy. But just ask yourself, what is it about me that I'd like to do? Not to change who I am, but just to change what I'm doing today, tomorrow, next week. And try, I mean, listen, getting the confidence to do it, I don't know how you get that. I mean, there's psychological reasons, but for me, it's just put yourself in a place and feel uncomfortable. You're not going to feel uncomfortable all day, because when you're there, you get more and more comfortable as you are in that space. Talk to people that have done it online. There's some great sort of platforms. These podcasts are great. Look up escapeartist.com. Look up liveandinvestoverseas.com. Look up internationalliving.com. All of these places are great places for you to get out of the norm. If you're in a rut, kick yourself out of it. But even call our office. Our office will even tell you, and answer some questions and give you some advice. But definitely, our good Lord has created a tremendous universe. a tremendous planet. And while politicians and business and real evil is at play, there's a great deal of joy out there too. Go find it.
What an uplift, Joe. Uplifting. Thank you. Go find it. But you know what? Take the initiative. In fact, call Alex Wilson. Contact Mr. Wilson for the options available to you. He'll guide you the right way. Thank you for such an uplifting message and for the solutions that you have created for others. You've actually kind of blazed the trail in that respect in many ways. And I want to thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Man, I'll tell you. PreciousTimber.com. Best way to get a hold of you via your website, PreciousTimber.com?
That's the best place, yeah.
Best place, okay. Again, Alex Wilson, PreciousTimber.com. Listen to this man. He knows what he's talking about. What a great friend of the program. Supports the Hagman Report, supports our endeavors, excuse me, but most importantly, a Christian businessman helping other Christians do what's right. Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Take care.
Until next time. Folks, we'll be right back after this network break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to this Monday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Stay tuned.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.